So I wanted to talk a little bit for maybe 10 minutes, then we'll do a walking meditation. And I wanted to talk about the practice of dana. It's translated usually as generosity. How many of you know the practice of dana pretty well? How many of you are not so familiar with this practice? Okay. So this is a practice that is very ancient. Dana means generosity, and most basically, it is a generosity of spirit. You know, that it's like, it's a practice that in some of the teachings, there's a teaching called the 10 paramis, sometimes the 10 core virtues or the 10 perfections. And the first in the list is dana, or generosity. And so again, it can mean generosity to oneself, generosity to others. And it's connected with not being too tight, right? And I think of it as basically having one's life oriented towards helping others, right? Essentially. And being willing to really give your life for others, and not forgetting yourself. And so it's has many meanings, and there are practices to develop generosity. It can be in many, many areas. It means helping others when they are suffering, when there's distress. It can mean helping them economically and so forth. And for about 2,600 years, the principle of dana has also been the economic model in Buddhist communities. And so the teachings were always, for 2,600 years, offered freely. There was not a fee for teachings or for learning. And that is still that way now. When I have gone to monasteries in Thailand, for example, and stayed there, there was no bill. You know, I could stay there as long as I want, and they did not ask for money, right? And they gave teachings, I had food, and I had, all I needed, And I wanted to offer some support for the monastery. In Thailand, they don't even do like what I'm doing now, which is talking about this. It's part of the culture. It's understood. So, for all those years, monasteries were typically near villages. And there's a kind of, a reciprocal relationship between the village and the monastery. So the villagers would often help if there was a need for new buildings. They might offer some money or help with labor and so forth, or to make a road or something. And then, when I was at the monasteries, the villagers would come on the weekend. They would often bring food. But they would also be seen talking with the monks or nuns, who maybe would give them counseling, right? Or they would talk about issues in their lives, something like that. So it's really, it's mutual generosity, right? And that's the system that's worked for 2,600 years. And when we've brought Buddhist practice to the West, we've tried to have something similar in a capitalistic system. Not so easy. Complex, right? But what we've tried to do is to have something like a dana system. And the way it's evolved is different with different groups. Like for here, I think it's completely dana, right? 100%. Like what that means is, even though, of course, there are costs for the center, there's no charge for being here. Even though, I am offering my teaching, and sometimes people invite me and they want to give me money, right? They give me, and kind of just like if you went to a professional workshop or something, right? And so what we've tried to do, or what we do here, is that everything is offered freely, and there's an opportunity to support the center and to support the teacher. It's done differently at Spirit Rock because it's a bigger place and we have a staff of about 40 people. It's not 100% dana. You know, the way we work it there is we try to keep the fees as low as possible, but there's basically, when you go to an event or a retreat there, there's a cost, fairly low, but there's still a cost that helps there be a budget which pays the 40 people working, you know, and takes care of the buildings and so forth. And some other places, even with buildings and some staff, they do it 100% on it. They usually have like staff of 3 people, not 40. But anyway, and so it's a little bit different. But even at Spirit Rock, the teachers do not receive compensation. And but we usually get travel paid for. We get travel paid for. So here, Tovana has paid my airplane ticket. Or they haven't actually paid yet, but they will pay. I've been told they will pay. And so, you know, it's not cheap.
If they don't, we'll build you an airplane.
Anyway, so there are, you know, I have that support, but otherwise I have nothing from Tovana. You know, it's freely offered. Same thing at Spirit Rock. We freely offered, and then people sort of see if they want to support. You know, and this is in many traditions. You know, I've gone to Christian monasteries, and same things there. You know, no bill. If you want to support, they don't even say very much. It's just sort of, if you want to support it, very good. And here it's similar. We have that to have the opportunity to support Tovana to keep doing what it's doing, and to support me to keep doing what I'm doing. And for me, almost 100% of my income is from Dana. You know, I actually use the same principle when I do one-on-one work with people or groups. I see people one-on-one, and it's on a Dana basis. I don't have a fee like most psychologists, right? And it works pretty well. When people get educated, it works pretty well. It can be, when you're newer, it can be confusing, like what's the right amount? You know, what is the right amount? And some people think, oh, okay, well, this is kind of like professional workshops. Other people think differently. But I think the best way is to try to have an inside feeling of what feels like too little and what feels like too much, right? Because it's interesting. In the teachings on Dana, her generosity, they say, generosity should not hurt you. Pretty interesting, right? That's very clear. Generosity should be something that doesn't, give all your money away so that you give all your money to Tovana and Donald and you have difficulty eating the next week. That's not so good. That's a joke. And so I think the Dana system, I'll just say one or two more things. The Dana system is, it's still an experiment, you know, and it's awkward. It's a little bit awkward to talk about it now, right? A little bit, not too bad. And it's, one of the benefits is that it keeps the fees very low, so it doesn't put spirituality on the market, right? Mm-hmm. And so anyone can come. And we try to have that really be a principle, which is very, very important, right? So it makes it possible for everyone to have access, even if you don't have so much money. And that's really, really important. And also, I think it's significant from a point of view of, you know, one of the characteristics of the larger society, I know in U.S., probably similar here, probably a little worse in U.S., is that often we have market values almost like become very influential for how institutions work, right? And the market values often get more important than the deeper values one has. You know, we can see in the U.S. right now, we have for-profit hospitals, right? And something, you know, it's gotten worse. You know, for-profit hospitals, we have for-profit education, right? And it distorts things, right? It's a problem. And so here we're trying to say, let our deeper values guide our economics rather than the other way around, right? rather than having the economic system of society influence the spirituality. So that's, I think, a very important principle. And we're still trying to find our way with this. It's not easy, right? And then the other thing is that people who are, sometimes people who have less, you know, they try to give what's the right amount, but and it may not be so much, but maybe in 10 years it's more, right? Where people who have more sometimes can give more knowing that some people have less, right? So it's kind of like that. So is that okay? Is that understandable for people who are newer? Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, some places they give suggested dana. We don't usually do that. Some people, they say, here's your suggested dana, which is a little bit like a sliding scale. Yeah, but mostly it's just to see what seems right. If you're really new, maybe you could talk to someone who's experienced and they can tell you what they do or something like that. Any questions about that?
Yeah. How much?
Okay. Then you can talk to Yael. She will tell you how much. For you, a lot. Okay. Sometimes we say a certain amount for every question. Just joking. Okay. Any questions about this? Okay. Yeah, thank you. And I thank you in advance for your support, you know. I mean, for me to be able to come here to Israel,
It's your first time?
Huh?
It's
my first time.
Uh-huh.
And,
wow.
And if I would come to people who would be not have much money and I would be given almost nothing, I would be very happy. You know, so it's really... it's really very special, of course, to be here. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's do about 15 minutes, and then we'll come back on and section on daily life practice. And yeah, so thank you. It's very powerful for me to be here, and still, you know, a lot of strong emotions and really. A lot of learning, yeah. And I enjoy very much just sharing what I have learned. You know, and so.